Let us stand and be called into worship with this extraordinary litany from England of about 700 years ago. Each time that I make one of these welcome affirmations, you respond, Christ within me, I adore thee. Welcome, my gracious Creator. Welcome, my kindly Redeemer and Savior. Welcome, thou high, rich King and worthy Prince. Welcome, my sweet love. Welcome, my kindly Father. Welcome, my tender nurse and mother. Welcome, my brother. Welcome, my helper and teacher. Welcome, my castle and tower, my safe refuge and protection. Welcome, my very God that died on the rood. Welcome, my sweet Jesu, that for me sheddest thy heart blood. Welcome, Son of the Virgin Mary. Welcome, my Lord of great mercy and rightful judge, when I shall die. Welcome, thou very joy and food of angels. Welcome, thou love and happiness of all the saints. Welcome, thou desire and comfort of all Christian souls. Welcome, my very hope and health. Welcome, all my felicity, solace, comfort, and my endless wealth. Good Lord, grant me for to feel thy presence ghostly and inwardly. Array me with thy gracious virtues and inflame me with thy holy love. And give me them all, for then I have all that I covet, and all that I desire, and all that I need.
Prayer of confession. God of mercy, God of grace, let's join together for the prayer of confession. Sorry. God of mercy, God of grace, for the still voice of peace after we have looked on our sin, for the spirit of regeneration after we have seen our violence and apathy, for the wisdom hidden at the heart of our trials, strangely generous, for a clear eye after sorrow, able to see the world as it is, for your turning our cast down soul to light from above. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As God's own, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Be always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven you. Above everything else, be loving, and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for you.
I don't remember my baptism in the ordinary sense at all. I was 6 weeks old, as I understand. Were you babies? When you were, so how could we remember, right? And yet, the whole church gathered and was with us, and right here for you two. That's very special. You're in the community that received you into the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Today, everybody in the church is invited to come, and I invite you now to put your hand into the water and take out a bead. It's not very deep. You won't need more than your fingers, honestly. Go ahead. Let's do it all. Let's all do it. Just take out a bead, and you keep it. This is yours. It's a way to remember that the whole church so loves you, that you were baptized here, and each of us who was baptized. Sometimes there are people in the church who are thinking about baptism or who have not been baptized, and we welcome that. But this is a sign of your baptism for you to remember. Okay? Thank you. You may. I realize Mrs. Hahn is not here today, right? So there won't be the Sunday school, and the parents will be with you. Alexander, question.
The only good thing about the water is that it's warm, not cold.
Good thing about the water is it's warm, not cold. Maybe it'll still be warm when we celebrate communion and you come and receive a marble yourselves as a remembrance of your baptism. Thank you. Thank you both.
First scripture reading is from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes behold my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The second scripture reading is from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 15. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impunity, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful.
Remember your baptism. What can that mean? Were you also infants, like most of us who were baptized as infants? We think then the memory can't serve. Here on the first Sunday of after Epiphany, it is the tradition of the church, as I said to the young people, to celebrate the baptism of the Lord. And you might have expected to hear that story of Jesus going down to the banks of the Jordan to go under the water, though John was reluctant to baptize him. And then the story of the heavens breaking and the word coming down as a dove: Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But we haven't told that story today. Rather, we've turned our attention to your baptism, not so much to Jesus's. We heard instead from the apostle, speaking to the Colossians, encouraging the young church to remember their baptisms. He speaks of getting rid of evil behaviors in the manner that you might get rid of some old clothes. And furthermore, he speaks of clothing yourselves with a new self. And this is because the baptismal ritual of long ago, and for a couple of hundred years, was entirely dressed in the literal experience of taking off old clothes and putting on new. Picture it. For 2 or 3 years, the catechumen, that was the fancy word, was involved in the catechumenate. 3 years of instruction in the faith. Imagine a new members class these days that went on for 3 years. I don't know how many takers there would be. And then finally, having been excluded from communion throughout the entire time of instruction, longing for it, the day arrived. The bishop was present. There couldn't be any baptisms without the bishops being present. The pool was made ready. The waters were perhaps a little warm. Perhaps not, I don't know. And then the catechumenate, in a private room, took off all the old clothes and was given a single, simple white garment. Some churches still follow aspects of this. And then the person went down into the waters, symbolizing cleansing, absolute, by God. And then she or he went under the water, symbolizing death. And then up, up, rising up, symbolizing resurrection, new life. You are my child, my beloved child. In you I am well pleased. These were the lineaments of Christian baptism in the early years. New clothes were given in replacement of the old. Now, for people in that day, perhaps the council, remember your baptism, had an anchor in memory that they could easily lay hold of and just hang on to put off the old self, to be clothed in the new, were filled with movements that their bodies, the limbs, could even remember what they had done, stretching to remove the old and bring on the new. But yet, even strong recollections like these could not have put to end the difficulty of living life, of choosing what to do day by day, of making mistakes, of sorrow, of hope, of repentance, of uncertainty. The question still hung, no matter the style of the baptism, the question still hung, what can it mean to say that in your baptism you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God? Have we died that way? Did it work? Does it work? 500 years ago, John Calvin, we've spoken of him before, Calvin expressed dismay at all the smells and bells that had been added to the ritual of baptism from the early days. He listed some. First there came incantations. Then a candle, he said, again with dismay. Then a chrism of oil on the forehead. Then something called exsufflation, which apparently is heavy breathing. I don't even understand it. And then, he noted with yet increasing exasperation, the priest offered his own spit in the ritual of baptism as somehow necessary. Calvin was disgusted. Now, these all came into use little by little. You can understand how it might have happened, because humans are easily excited by a little drama to go along with their big decisions. Yeah, we understand. But Calvin thought these distractions even damaging to faith. I encountered a version of this when I was pastoring at Riverside. The youth with one of the ministers were planning a trip to Israel. Now, Riverside has a Baptist route as well as a UCC route, and so some of the young people are accustomed to seeing baptism by immersion, or were themselves so baptized. And they wanted to go and be baptized, some of them again, in the Jordan River. And I was concerned. And I told the minister who would accompany them that this would not be wise for their faith to re-baptize anybody. Only those youth who have never been baptized should experience this ritual. Others may be the church in witness. Well, I think the Jordan is, like those other smells and bells, a merely human distraction from the meaning of baptism. I asked the minister to see to these things, and he reported that he failed, that the excitement and passion of the youth to be baptized just overwhelmed the events. And there were other ministers around apparently doing this, and it happened. Well, why does it matter that baptism include nothing special?
That's such a remarkable thing in our Father Puritan Calvin. It must be nothing special, he says. It matters for faith. It matters that faith not become some mishmash of sentimentality and superstition, as if water from the Jordan makes it work better or more easily remembered. No. He wants all that, and I align my own faith to this teaching. Leave it aside. For faith to grow, the important thing is that the water be water. Just water. Clean, of course. That's good. Warm, maybe. Whatever takes place in baptism should be of no significance. This is Calvin's teaching, of no significance except that it be your church that does it. That's all. It makes no difference who does it, so long as it be a servant whom the church has selected in order to hold the sacrament holy. And furthermore, it should never be done in emergency or done in private, as if it worked, as if something had to happen, as if God was waiting for humans to do something in order to offer God's love to a child. This is the thing that inflamed Calvin most. Of course God does not wait for humans to do anything. It's already moving. The psalmist got it long, long ago from Psalm 139. My frame was not hidden from you, O Lord, when I was being intricately woven in the depths of the earth. In your book were written all the days before they even existed. God sees. So, as Calvin taught it, and I think we ought to hold it, baptism was only for the mind. In fact, Calvin liked to compare baptism to the seal on a scroll that has been delivered to someone by the author. God is the author of this message. And he asked the question, which is more important, the seal or the message? He says, that's kind of obvious. The seal, it has an importance. And we seal the message of God with baptism. But the message is the point. God loves you. And this is why the church is, the work of baptism is the church's work. God, not God's work. It's our way of acknowledging God's action. I'm quoting something from the Institutes. He writes, only the message matters. The means is without significance, but only that in this sacrament are received the knowledge and certainty of the gift of God. In other words, baptism is for faith. Does it work? Only if you remember it. It's like a little koan. It only works if you remember it. We might say it's only for your mind. Calvin again. As often as we fall away, we ought to remember our baptism and fortify our mind with it. For though baptism, once administered, may seem to have passed, it was still not destroyed by the subsequent sins. And you hear that and you say, well, wait a minute, that's just an idea. You can't prove it. The senses can make nothing of this idea that our baptism has not been destroyed. Only thought can touch it. Is it possible that God is such that our sins do not destroy the meaning of the message in our baptism? The scriptures affirm it, to be sure. The scriptures are thoughts too. Does baptism work? Only if you remember it. What then are you to remember? That you have died. and that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Is it true? Only if you remember it. Here is the strange and the wonderful stage onto which God calls you. God, who offers you no proofs. Proofs that the voice is God's, no proofs. God, who gives you only the church in common assent to these things. Only the church. And altogether the church in common assent to these things. God, who bids you not worry or even wonder whether Christ's is the only name by which men and women wake. You have wakened to his name. That's all that matters. God calls you on the stage of life and of the history of all humankind. God calls you onto the stage to remember what it can mean to know that you have already died and that your life is already hidden with Christ in God. It can mean this whenever you remember it. Your every trouble, whose sting arises from your having a body, your every trouble that you hunger, that you hurt, that you can be hurt, that you have hurt others, that you have to give it all up, one way or another, sooner or later, all love, all hopes, all dreams, all projects, every trouble which comes from your having a body has already been taken from you. This is the affirmation we make in Christ, having died with Christ, so that we might live a life like his. Every trouble has already been taken from you when you remember it. That is to say, it has not been taken from the anxious you, the fearful you. Of course not. You know that person. But you're not just one person, not just one self. You have old self and new self, always to be discovered. God has taken from you every trouble of your mortal body, from that part of you who lives now and always, that part of you of which the psalmist was so brilliantly aware. To you God calls, the one who was woven from the depths of the earth, and you who have been known in your sitting down and in your rising up all your life long. Here is the sign that this gift, this affirmation, this thought to be remembered is from God. It is that whenever you remember that you have already died, that your life is sure and hidden in God, then you can clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with patience, with forgiveness. Wherever in this world there is injustice these days, where is there not injustice in this world of collapsing in greed and power struggles? But wherever you meet injustice, when you remember that your life is hid with God, you can stand with the vulnerable. You can withstand the attacks from this greedy, power-hungry world struggling to save its old body. Courage is yours whenever you remember that you have already died and your life is hid with God. with Christ in God. This is the meaning of Paul's affirmation. In Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things in Christ, who strengthens me. What is the evidence of it? That you try it. That you experience this strengthening of the Lord when you ask. When you remember your baptism. When I first arrived in my first pastorate, this is well more than 30 years now, there was a woman named Alice Light. What a name to bear. Who was about 80 at the time, and such a friend. The Christian fellowship that she extended was so meaningful, had so many good consequences. She was especially drawn to this passage from Colossians, which we have read this morning. She had it committed to by heart, all the verses we heard this morning. I served in that church for 12 years. Sometimes I would hear it at a session meeting, sometimes over a meal if I were at her home. In the last year, Alice's mind wandered a lot. In fact, in the last months, she said nothing of meaning. I couldn't follow it. But here, committed to her heart, were these wonderful words. These wonderful words. Still, she would say, so if you have been raised with Christ, imagine this coming from the heart and the lips of a woman who does not otherwise communicate. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things of earth. Clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility above all. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I can hear the sound of her voice readily today, for she had always already died. She already knew her life was hid with God. So can you. Amen.